not needs any introduction. She's very much a part of Surfside, and we're all getting to know her. And but we could let's reach out and pray for her as now as she shares. Yeah, Lord God, we just thank you for Charlotte. We just thank you for her life and her love for you. And we just pray that you just really bless and anoint her as she brings this word, her testimony, her story, that it would bring life to us. It would come to life and would bring hope and life to each of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Just take your time. All right. Hi, everybody. Hi. It's kind of scary up here. But I'll be fine because I have a lot of things that I have to share tonight, and I'm going to do it with confidence. And I'm going to speak the positive words that I would expect my students to speak. I'm a teacher, so I would try and, you know, practice what I preach. Okay. I've been listening closely to our current series, What's on Your Heart, and I've admired the honesty and bravery of others. I have loved listening to everyone's words, and these have given me a lot to think about. Although I don't normally make it to night church having my two little ones at home, I have listened online every week and have felt the gentle prodding from God. It's been a journey for me to get here, to stand before you all this evening and to share my experience of life without God, and to tell my story about how, through God's grace, I was saved. I've known for a while that one day I would stand here and share my testimony. It's something that I'm so thankful for and proud to share. However, the fear of judgment has held me back. I've talked to God a number of times about this, kind of wanting him to talk me out of it. Actually really wanting him to talk me out of it. Like, don't do it, it's a bad idea. Instead, through prayer, I'm consistently met with encouragement, strength, and direction, and also peace about what I must say. So my testimony is raw, it's messy, it's dark at the start. There are many pieces that make up the puzzle of my life that was once in pieces. I'm a real words person, and so there are many things I could share with you tonight, but I really want to stay on track on the path of the word that God wants me to share. So I've written everything down for the sake of direction and clarity. So I'm sorry if I don't have good eye contact. My story could be described as long and tangled. There are many pieces that make up the web of my past. And I use the word web because it accurately creates a picture of all the sticky fibres that I was trapped in. I won't talk about everything that had me feeling trapped, but I will give you a brief background of my life and how I believe I ended up in a very dark place, and most importantly, how God delivered me to freedom. I describe myself as an honest person. I call a spade a spade. I love my friends and family with a passion. I despise injustice, and I can be very emotional, as a lot of you have probably seen me cry before. I'm a perfectionist. Often I am my worst critic. And over time, I'm learning to be gentler with my honesty and kinder to myself. I was raised in a Christian household where going to church on Sunday was compulsory, until it wasn't, which was maybe in my early teens. I've always had a faith in God, and I've always known deep down that God was with me and that he loves me. But of course, I reached an age where I thought I could look after myself. God wasn't cool, and I could do life better without him holding me back. As a teenager, I entered a relationship with a guy who was a lot older than me. He wasn't a Christian guy, and I guess you could say that he lived by his own rules. Through this relationship, I learned that drinking alcohol and smoking weed was a normal pastime for many teens. And although knowing that these things were wrong, I began drinking heavily most weekends and going to parties, and essentially I put myself in countless dangerous situations. I do want to add, however, that this guy always treated me kindly. He never forced me to drink or smoke, and I have no ill feelings towards him for what happened 16 years ago. And although not immediately relevant to my testimony, I think it's important to recognise that from a very young age, I became reliant on the approval of others. I wanted to be accepted, and therefore I developed a taste for alcohol, which in turn led me to a couple of long-term relationships with less than suitable partners. Eventually, through mutual friends, I met my now husband, Nick. Nick was different to any guy I'd met before. He was intelligent, he was in control, he was really strong-minded, yet diplomatic. He took time getting to know me, and he made me feel smart and appreciated. He respected me and told me I was beautiful without any of the normal seediness that I'd known had come along with that. Nick had a similar upbringing to mine with a Christian family, and he had also stopped going to church. He actually hasn't come back to church. After about a year of dating, Nick and I moved in together. Nick and I were firstly in love, and we started to drink more and more together and began taking the odd party drug here and there. Here and there eventually became more often than not on the weekends. Things started to spiral out of control in my life, and I landed in such a dark place, the kind of place that I'm struggling to go back in my mind as I record this memory. So here comes the scary part. So I would hallucinate. I saw dark and scary people in my house. I saw them walk past in the corner of my eyes. This happened both day and night. I felt a heavy presence surrounding my body, and it was terrifying. I'd go to bed every night and feel the devil is with his hands on me, pushing me down in fear. I'd pull the covers up over my head, and my heart would race as I could sense dark figures standing next to my bed. I need you all to understand that this happened to me for over a year, every day and night, and I need you to understand that it was real. I wasn't crazy. So often we take for granted the spiritual realm. We really do, both light and dark. I've encountered both firsthand, and there's no mistaking an experience with the devil. I thought that God had abandoned me and that I was too far gone. Right. And then I got pregnant. I found out that I was pregnant a week after Nick and I had paid for a round-the-world trip. I just resigned from my job, and they had replaced me on the same day. In my mind, I thought that God was playing some kind of cruel trick on me. Needless to say, we didn't have the baby, and even writing that sentence finds me in a very uneasy spot. On the inside of my heart, all I felt was empty and rotten. I can describe it kind of like a tree that on the outside looks nicely pruned and healthy, but on the inside, there was nothing. I was damaged, very damaged. I wanted to die and just went through the paces of life. I cried myself to sleep every night, and I resented Nick for allowing me to do what he knew deep in his heart I didn't want to do. I found myself in a pit of darkness, and it was an awful place to be. No words can describe the emotions from that time in my life. Nick and I went on our world trip. I tried to enjoy it, but I felt empty, and I often cried at night. I hated myself, and I knew that I didn't deserve such an experience. And then something happened that changed the direction of my life, and I didn't know it at the time, and wouldn't recognise us as part of God's plan until a lot later. When we got to Kuala Lumpur, we were almost out of money, and I began searching for teaching jobs in Sydney, as we had good friends who had recently moved there. A job was advertised at Pimble Ladies College for a Year 3 teacher. This was a Christian school, and in fact one of the leading independent schools in Australia. I was granted an interview and flew to Sydney from Malaysia. While I was on the train to my interview, I began to pray. I asked God to protect me, guide me, and to give me strength. I had faith that he would meet me where I was. As I walked into school off the train, I was surrounded by God's angels of strength. I was empowered, I was confident, and I knew that I had the job before I'd even walked in there. I just knew, I could feel it. Where am I up to? I was granted the position, which placed me working under the most amazing Christian teacher, Leanne Thomas. Leanne was my senior teacher, but became a close and very dear friend. She built me up, she gave me confidence and courage. She encouraged me professionally, and also to go back to church. I didn't, however. We would talk about the Bible and God, and she always met me where I was spiritually. She was never condescending or judgmental, and I had a great deal of trust in her. There was also an amazing pastor at Pimble, Greer Doc Manovic, who changed my thinking through the sermons which she wrote for primary school children. I truly believe like that's where I was at there. I couldn't handle anything more, but God works like that. This leads me to the next step in my journey. We decided to move back to... Oh, no, I missed a paragraph. That's probably pretty... important. Nick and I went through the motions in Sydney. We both did well professionally, and I threw myself into exercise and work. I tried to keep my mind busy. Nick and I got engaged and ended up falling pregnant with Louis. I remember feeling excited, terrified, but mostly I felt unworthy, completely unworthy. In my mind, I didn't deserve to have a child. This leads me to the next step in my journey. We decided to move back to New Zealand, Raglan actually. Nick got a job working for a company called Aeronavics. When I found out we'd be moving to Raglan, I began to research churches and found Surfside. I knew I needed to come back to church, but at this point I wasn't sure how to go about it all. I also wanted my child to be brought up with the same values and morals as I had, and also to have the opportunity to learn about God. Once back in New Zealand, after having Louis, I actually contacted Cheryl via the website's email. I wanted to know of any other young Christian mums in the community, but I was way too scared to come to church. She gave my number to Sasha. This is a hard bit to talk about. She called me. We met up and became the best of friends. If it wasn't for her, I can honestly say I probably wouldn't have made it back to church. We talked a lot about church and also my anxieties. Sasha brought fresh air back into my life, and she gave me hope. All right, I can do this. I once said at my maid of honour's wedding speech, like facing with my back to the crowd. Everyone laughed, so it kind of like lifted the atmosphere a bit, but I won't do that to you guys. She talked me through what to expect at church, and she met me at the door. And encouraged me every week, and she made me feel safe. Through all of this, however, I still felt unworthy. I felt trapped. I still hallucinated, and sometimes I saw things that scared me. I felt trapped in my life, and although I was dead on the inside, and I truly believe that this is because I hadn't actually given up my sins and life to God. I didn't know it at the time, but I was still not forgiven. Because I hadn't asked for forgiveness. How could I ask God to forgive me for something that I had done intentionally? Now to record the most amazing experience of my life, my encounter with God. I still remember the day. I really want to say this part really well because it's really important that you get it. I still remember the day very clearly, my emotions and what was happening at the time. During the weeks and months prior, I would often feel scared. I felt so dark on the inside. My heart was screaming in pain. I felt as awful as I had in the past, and the feelings of hopelessness were taking over. Louis was in his bedroom at the time, and I was on the couch, Googling what happens when you die. I'd convinced myself that I was going to hell. I was terrified, but I felt that I deserved it. I broke down in tears, the type of tears that are so painful that it's almost silent. I called to God. I almost screamed for him. I demanded that he meet me. I prayed for him to forgive me. I prayed for the pain to be over. And I think I declared I was sorry over 50 times. This is the moment that changed my life forever. In a split second, I felt the hands of God on my shoulders. They were indescribable. But I'll try to explain the feeling that I had. And I don't think any words can describe this, but I've tried my best in a human way, obviously. His hands were calm. They felt like peace. They were love. They were the kind of love that you and I are not capable of, a spiritual, godly love. His hands weren't warm and they weren't cold. It was the ultimate feeling of grace. My entire body was suddenly relieved from all the pain. I felt the burdens of my heart being lifted away, and they were so heavy and dark that I almost watched them as they were taken from my body, and I tingled all over. All I felt was grace and love. I felt loved, I felt forgiven, I felt supported, I felt clean. I can honestly say, hand on my heart, that I've never felt guilt or shame about what I did ever again. I've lived in freedom of my crime. God loves me and forgave me. And I have a few main points that I want to finish with. Number one, I did have some slides, but I saved them as a PDF, so it didn't quite work. Oh, you found?
Oh, okay, cool.
They're not that impressive, as you can see. I just like quickly typed them up while the kids were sleeping at lunchtime. Number one, you can't run from God, no matter what you have done in your life. He's the only one that can set you free. I want to refer to Daniel 2:22. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him. There is no freedom or light without God. We sometimes think that there is, but there isn't. God knows us and he loves us. He knows our hearts. Most importantly, perhaps, God dwells in us all. We are all made in the image of God. This must mean that there is light in all of us. Don't be afraid of God, to talk to him, to share your burdens. Seek and you will find. Number two, this brings me to my next point. God will meet you where you are. He knows where you're at. He's waiting for you to turn towards him. I can honestly say that God will talk to you if you ask him to. Open your hearts and be vulnerable. Job 24:23 tells us that God will provide us with security and support. His eyes are on our ways. Being open with God was the key for me to receive forgiveness and freedom. Number three, my third point kind of reiterates Chris and Ben's points from previous weeks. God wants us to be surrounded by people of faith. He will use those relationships to teach you lessons in your life and progress you towards him and your purpose. I can only see now, looking back over the past 5 years of my life, how God has used specific people in my life to guide me home. I can't always get to church, but realize I need to as much as possible, and that I need to invest time in faithful people who also invest in me. And number four, my final point tonight is to pray in faith. And this is, you have to get this. It is so important to pray. You need to pray with intention. Be intentional with your prayers. Pray in faith. Pray with an open heart and soften yourself towards the Lord. Since learning this crucial key, I've heard from God a number of times. I've heard instructions, guidance, and reassurance. I truly believe that the stronger our faith, the easier we will hear from God. And like all of us, I'm on a journey. I have many things to learn, and of course I do not have all the answers. My plan is to keep walking towards God and his purpose for me. I plan to be baptized in summer, and I look forward to everything that God has ahead for me and my family.
Well, that was pretty powerful, wasn't it?